Welcome. So we have a few things on our agenda. So we have four things on our agenda, and of course, also a time at the end for any questions you guys have. So real quick, Matt, I think you were going to cover the transit program and projects, or Jeff, or who was going to cover this?
Yeah.
You were?
No,
Okay.
I was.
Okay. Oh, that's not good.
Maybe everyone knows.
So I think that echo is coming from you, Ron. So looks like we have you on twice. There we go. Okay, so, and Matt, I don't know if it's helpful, but I have slides for both Metros and Pardas. So do you want me to just show Metros as you start talking? Okay, and just let me know when to switch to Parda.
Thanks. So the program of projects is a requirement for transit agencies from the FTA to release to develop, publish, and submit just a detailed plan of projects for the fiscal year. Well, for the calendar year. These are projects that they're going to start, finish, and plan to pay for in this year, 2026. This is a requirement, and this is presenting for public comment for your review and your comment, any questions. And if you come up with any questions or have any comments that is outside of this meeting, feel free to email me or send this to whoever. So we're just looking at Metro's projects, just the high level. You see kind of two big things that stand out, the 20 large buses. So every year pretty much that the transit agencies, especially Metro, are going to replace, a portion of their fleet. So they have over like 160 large buses. 20 is actually kind of a large purchase in this fiscal year. And another large project is the maintenance and operations facility, which they're going to finish in the next few months. This year they're spending $17 million. This is of formula funds that they're going to spend. Federal formula funds that they get every year. They're going to use a portion of that funding for the facility. And that's kind of the two big projects. This is really in line with what they kind of spend each year. But these two, maybe a little bit more, obviously, with the maintenance facility and the 20 large buses is actually a larger purchase for them. Moving on to Parda, theirs is pretty standard for Parda. They're a smaller to mid-size agency. This is, three large buses, two low LTV buses for their on-demand service, and a couple expansion buses too for their on-demand service. The $1.6 million in CMAQ, and then preventative maintenance of $1.2 million. Preventative maintenance is like fuel, oil, spare parts, and then their labor for maintenance can be charged for preventative maintenance. But yeah, that's just kind of the highlights of their program of projects for the year. Does anybody have any questions on that or comments?
All right. Okay, well, thank you, Matt. Our next item is our road diet report update. So Amelia and I are going to kind of both give different parts of this presentation, and we'll talk about this more in May, it is May. We'll talk about this more in August. This is something that we've done some work on, and we're going to be working on the final report over the summer. So we'll have kind of a more thorough presentation here in a few months. So So I'm going to start off here and then hand it off to Amelia to talk about our crash analysis that we've done, which is, I think, the more interesting part. But for anyone who's not aware, a road diet is basically just a repurposing of the lanes of a roadway. You've maybe seen some of these. Most of them are in the city of Akron in our region. Cuyahoga Falls has implemented one, and Barberton has implemented a couple. But all the rest are in the city of Akron within our planning region. Typically, it's when you have two travel lanes in each direction, and then you're reducing that down into one. Often, there's a two-way left turn lane added, and more regularly than not, there are bike lanes added. And so the reasons why you would do a road diet, usually it's for safety reasons. You're often eliminating some of the conflict points. By reducing lanes, you have the potential to reduce speed on a roadway, which can have, you know, positive safety benefits. And then you're, by introducing bike lanes and stuff, you're allowing a space for non-vehicular modes of travel. So there are a lot of good safety reasons to do it. And that's usually the reason why a road diet is introduced, when you have favorable conditions, meaning the roadway doesn't carry the volume of traffic that it used to, and you don't need to have a four-lane roadway. It also can carry huge benefits for, you know, more of a complete streets type of concept of a roadway. And of course, it's a low-cost type thing that you can do. You can implement things pretty easily. You know, it's just the cost of paint and striping. So about a decade ago, AMATS did a road diet analysis. And at that time, so the study kind of introduced the concept and talked about some of the pros and cons and reasons to do it and not do it. And what that report, kind of the centerpiece of that, was coming up with a methodology to list 60 candidate road diet segments across the region that could possibly be considered for road diets. And we organized them into three tiers based on total traffic volume, or ADT, tier 1, 2, and 3. And so when we kind of got started with this, we actually started this project a couple of years ago, and it's kind of sat on the shelf, and we've kind of worked on it a couple of times. It's been sort of a low priority, but when we kind of picked this back up a couple of years ago, we started talking about, well, let's see how some of these road diets have been performing. Let's see what's actually been implemented. So of those 60 road diet segments, a lot of those have been implemented, 28 in total. I think when that study was done, there were, I believe, 3 road diets that had already been built. So 25 more have been built. Most of those were recommendations from that study. So you can see, like, about half of them have actually been implemented in the last 10 years. So that's part of your packet, is these list of the 28 roadways. And so we're asking all three of our committees to kind of review this list to make sure it's accurate. You know, most of that load goes to the city of Akron, and we're asking them to, you know, carefully review all of this information. The second part of this, which Amelia is going to talk about, is our crash comparison. So you can go ahead, Amelia, and talk about that.
Thank you. Everyone can hear me good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so in order for us to analyze the road diets based on their crashes, we made sure that they had 3 years before and 3 years after the road diet. We actually did the year of construction, and then we kind of did an adjustment year too and made sure there were 3 years before and after that before we analyzed the roadways. So we did 16 out of the 28. And 10 out of those 16, we did see a reduction in crashes. We looked at overall crashes based on severity, and we also looked at crash types as well. This is also structured a lot like our roundabout study that is also on our website as well, if you're interested in looking at that. And we also did a significance test, and 7 out of the 16 were statistically significant changes as well, which was cool to see. It was very fun to look at, and so we're encouraging everyone to take a look and provide feedback if you'd like. Anyone have any questions about any of that? Awesome. Let me know if I missed anything, Matt.
Nope, that's great. So yeah, this is kind of what we're presenting so far. Like that analysis is done, but we're going to be more carefully reviewing all of that and then just writing the rest of the report. The other piece of this that we didn't cover in our presentation that's in the meeting packet for this month is we kind of presented the outline of how we think the report is going to be structured. We've done some of that preliminary work and done a little bit of the report writing. But we're kind of just asking people to review that to make sure that structure seems reasonable. Like Amelia said, we're patterning it pretty closely off of how we did our roundabout study 2 years ago. Cause we thought that formula worked pretty well. So that's where we are with this project, but we're excited about it and hope to have a draft to look at here in August. Any questions? Okay. And now Heather is going. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I have a question if I'm not going to create too much feedback.
Yeah, go
what
ahead,
is the Ron. Public? What's the public response to these road diets? Are they popular?
That's a great question. It varies tremendously. I would say, I think in a lot of cases, no, they're not. But that can depend wildly, case by case. One of the things we did, Ron, this was a couple of years ago. Matt and I did some focus groups with the city of Akron, and we're hoping to kind of have some conversations with Barberton and Cuyahoga Falls also in the next month or two to kind of talk about perceptions and like lessons learned as they've done this. And so we did talk with them about, you know, popularity and like how that's changed along the way. And I remember one of the things Akron said is they've kind of learned, like, keep people in the loop and give them information early and often, which was a lesson that we really heard in our roundabout study too. You know, it's just that reminder that you have to do public involvement. Don't surprise the community and just like say, hey, we're going to restripe your roadway and totally change everything, especially if you have like a central business district or something. And that's when these things can become really unpopular, I think, when you have like a lot of business owners and it's changing around like traffic patterns and parking and all that sort of thing. But they do absolutely have the potential to be incredibly unpopular. But I think a lot of them aren't, you know, they're not that controversial. I think Akron has done several in more recent years that have been pretty well received. So it really depends.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So Heather's going to talk about our new round of Connecting Communities planning grants and our recommendations for that.
Hi, everyone. I just want to double check. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, Heather.
I thought we had this fixed, so I'll just...
There, I can hear you better there.
Okay, I'm just going to yell into my laptop here. So we've recommended... I'm sorry. So our staff met right after the applications were due, which was around the end of March. And then we made decisions on kind of the scoring or what AMS as a whole thought all of the planning grant applications looked like. Can you hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From there, our task force met in April and came up with our final recommendations. So there was a lot of conversation. And afterward, we came up with two planning grants that we're recommending for policy approval. They were approved today by our TAC. So next week, it'll go to policy. They are both the City of Rittman for their active transportation plan and the City of Monroe Falls for their trails master plan. Monroe Falls is looking to connect to several trails already within their city. They are aware of the fact that their population is getting older, that they have more than normal, more than the average, I guess, number of carless households. So they recognize that they need to be planning their city for those people. Then the city of Rittman is looking to do a citywide active transportation plan connecting specifically to their downtown. I think that's about it. So they will be two $50,000 grants, and we'll hopefully get those started here in the next few months. If you guys have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
I have one. Ryan, you got it. Heather, who in Monroe Falls is the key person or people that are going to be involved with that $50,000 grant for trail planning?
Sure. The mayor, Mayor Mavridis. Can you hear me? Okay, so if you're familiar with our planning grant process, that's who wrote the application, and that's who we'll be working with directly. But from there, we will choose a consultant, and it'll be a few months before we choose that consultant and then get them under contract. But then the consultant basically takes it and runs.
And there, I'm sure there will be other people within the city that will be identified, you know, as that planning process gets started, you know, in addition to the mayor, who will be involved, you know, on the steering committee that eventually gets established.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and the last thing on our agenda, and this is kind of just a almost like kind of a catch-all. We just noted our transit TIP amendment. We're happy to answer any questions about that amendment or any of our highway amendments. Nothing too exciting with any of these, but if anyone has any questions, we're happy to talk about any of those. So are there any questions about any of our TIP amendments?
Austin, I'm sitting here. Mm-hmm. I was going to text him.
Okay. And I have one other quick thing that wasn't on the agenda. Figured you task force folks would probably be able to help me with this. So we're in the process of, believe it or not, updating our relatively new bike map update. It's only been about a year and a half since we printed this, but we're getting low on copies, so it's time to update that. So we're just trying to make sure we're capturing any new either bike lanes or trails or shared use paths that have been built or are being built right now. We're looking at things that will be open this year, not necessarily things that will be open next year. We'll capture those in future printings. So this is what we're aware of so far. We're asking our members and reaching out to some of our more active communities specifically to ask, you know, if they're aware of anything. But if any of you are aware of anything that we missed, please let me know. Or if I think you guys have either seen this bike map or are aware of our online bike map, which it should be the same thing, just looks a little different. If you look at that and you see anything that, hey, I know this has been built, but it's not reflected here, just shoot me an email in the next couple weeks, and we'll make sure we get that added. So that is all we had for our agenda, but as always, if you have any questions or other topics you'd like to bring up, that's why we're here. Anything else?
I can provide a little update on the Veterans Trail in Hudson that won't be done this year or probably not next year either, maybe late next year. But what I'm talking about is the 1 mile section that starts in downtown Hudson and goes to Barlow Road. That was previously owned by Norfolk Southern. And the city of Hudson negotiated with Norfolk Southern to acquire it for something like $500,000. And it's taken about 2 years, I'd say. But that sale has gone through. That included having the Surface Transportation Board file for abandonment of that line so that it's no longer shown in the records as an active line. That was completed, and the property has officially transferred to the city of Hudson now. Part of that negotiation that Hudson and Norfolk Southern had was Hudson wanted Norfolk Southern to remove the rails and ties, and Norfolk Southern agreed to do that. And we just learned recently, just a few days ago, as a matter of fact, that Norfolk Southern has awarded a contract for that work to a company called Treno, T-R-E-N-O. That's the Italian word for train. It's a local company. They're here in Northeast Ohio. And they're going to start the work, they think, around the beginning of June. So they'll be pulling those rails and ties out. And the they say that when it's done, it'll be, you know, the bed will be there still with the ballast. It'll be, you could drive a pickup truck over it, for example, or some kind of off-road vehicle. You wouldn't want to drive your car on it. You can't walk on it because it's not level and paved or anything like that. But it'll be ready for future paving. So there is some progress on that 1 mile section.
Yeah, and Ron, we gave them. Matt, do you remember how much money we gave them to help with the paving of that? Did they get
was it the full million or was it not quite the full million? Did we get partial funding?
I think it might have been.
I think it was a million.
Yeah,
so that was 1.2 actually, if I remember right.
Yeah,
with the
PDIP. But yeah, no, because that's really interesting because you know that one of the big debates we were having during our meetings was the sale was not official when they had applied to us. And so that created some confusion about if they should get the extra points for owning the right of way or not. And as it turned out, the committee decided to give them the points for it, which got them the funding they needed. So that's actually really good news to know that it's moving along and that they're actually going to be pulling up the tracks. So maybe people will stop bothering us about that commuter rail line for a while.
It's not going to be a commuter rail line anymore. That possibility won't exist, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess they could always sell it again, but it seems unlikely.
Yeah. And then regarding this, the rest of the trail from Barlow Road south through part of Hudsonville, Stowe, Silver Lake, Cuyahoga Falls, and Akron, that's all owned by Metro RTA, and they've been negotiating with the Federal Transit Administration the Federal Transit Administration is requiring them to pay back $12.5 million that they got as a grant 30 years ago to build a commuter rail. And they have paid half of it back, and they're negotiating the other half. Part of that negotiation was they wanted to do another round of appraisals. And that's taken a long time, but they just got the results of the appraisals. And the total for the three lines that Metro owns, that would be the Akron Secondary Line that we're talking about from Hudson to Akron, the Freedom Trail that goes from Akron to out towards Canton and Ravenna, and the Sandyville line that goes all the way down to Canton. Those three lines, the total appraisal came in about the same as it had, but the numbers changed a little bit. The Freedom Trail went down about $1 million, I'd say, and unfortunately the Akron Secondary Line went up about $1 million. So it's now appraised at something like $3.5 million. So I think we hear that Summit County is trying to put a coalition together to buy the Akron Secondary Line. I think there might be some discussion with some of Metro Parks on the Freedom Line. And on the Sandyville Line, they've had some interest from the Cuyahoga Scenic Valley Railroad to be able to operate their train all the way down to Canton. But they don't have any money, so there's something called the Ohio Railway Commission. They're working with them as a possible buyer of the Sandyville Line. So the process of Metro divesting of those rail lines is moving very slowly, but it is sort of moving a little bit now with the new appraisals.
In your estimation, and then, is Metro more open to parceling them out to separate owners than they were 6 months ago? Kind of sounds, yes. Well, something you just said made me think that it sounded like there's a little more room there for that.
They do agree to sell the lines individually, three separate sales.
Okay.
And what they're holding the line on is not selling it parcel by parcel, which would be
truly
unfortunate to have the right of way broken up. And they're committed to that not happening so far.
But at least separating them by line, that's huge right there.
Yeah.
Because that was the big problem before. The Sandyville was like more than half of the total cost, and nobody really wants the Sandyville.
The problem with the Sandyville line is the Metro signed a 99-year lease with either ABC or Wheeling, West Virginia. Those two, they're co-owned. One owns the other. And one of them has an easement to operate trains on there, and Metro's committed to keeping those tracks open for what is maybe one train a week with a few rail cars for another. There must be 50 years left on that lease agreement. So that anybody who wants to buy it has to assume those lease obligations, and it's costing Metro $200,000 a year to maintain those tracks on a good year. Some years it's double that.
Yep.
So Metro is determined to sell these. They did acknowledge that they're getting pushback from a lot of community agencies, and I'm guessing that's like Summit County, perhaps Summit Metro Parks, perhaps the communities along the Akron Secondary Line, saying to Metro, why don't you just keep these rail lines and maintain them for the good of the residents of Summit County, and allow trails to be built on them and operated by Summit Metro Parks or the communities, and just maintain the ownership in the name of Metro RTA, which it is now. Wouldn't require years of legal work and negotiation to sell. And they've been against that, but I got a little sense that they're hearing it more and more often now. And it might be time for some advocacy group like Task Force to say, hey, let's start a campaign to convince Metro to keep these rail lines.
Yeah, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I thought the whole reason we were in this was because the feds were telling them they had to divest if they weren't using them for a transit purpose. I thought they got that message from FTA pretty loud and clear, which is what started this process.
Well, they were determined to sell it from the get-go. They want to be out of the rail.
Oh, they definitely do, but it's, and that's where, it just sometimes it seems like there's a lot of mixed messaging going on of, what makes the most sense. And I think the problem is that I don't think at the numbers that I saw appraised, it's going to be tough for any local consortium of communities to put that money together for a longer corridor like that. That's a heavy lift.
longer corridor like the Sandoval line, you mean? Or
yeah, well, any or that? Any of the multi-community line, you know, so even the veterans or whatever we're calling it now, the secondary, you know, all the way down, and you're bringing Akron into the mix, I believe, at some point, and that's it would be very arduous, I think, to get a coalition to buy it all at once.
Yeah. Well, to your point, I have heard Metro say that FTA told them they had to divest of the rail lines, but maybe that's no longer a requirement.
Well, and you know, and every FTA rep you speak to, I'm sure, gives them a slightly different answer and is hedging their bets for whoever above them tells them what they're, you know. So it is a moving target. I think, to be fair to Metro RTA. It definitely is a moving target at the federal level.
Well, we're committed to keep on advocating for it, so see what we can do.
And you guys have made a lot of progress, so you should be proud of yourselves.
Yeah. Hold on to those TASA grants that you made. Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid they're going to take those. They're going to take those away from us next.
No, don't let that happen.
All right. Well, any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, if not, hope to see you in August. If anything comes up before then, you know how to reach us. And hope you all have a good night. And we'll see you. See you in a few months.
Enjoy your summers. Enjoy your vacations. And if you guys do get any major updates, send us an email.
Okay.
Thank you all.
You as well.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Right,
thanks, guys.
Bye.
Yep. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.